This is the Day Zero Update for September 23rd, 2018. I'm Fleetwood and Alpha.
I'm Patrick Mifflin.
I'm Brandon Perkins.
And I'm Chris Hologi.
Yeah, we had a rather eventful week this week, to say the least. With the Nintendo Online launching and a couple of studios closing and demos coming out. Yeah, we had some fun stuff and less fun stuff to talk about. So we're going to get to that. But before we do, we usually start off with what we've been up to. So, let's get into that. So for me this week, kind of a continuation of what I was doing last week. Still making my way through the whole Shining Force series. Touched on it a little bit on Let's Weekend, but just mentioned it here. Kind of pretty much finished with Shining Force CD. Yeah, those episodes are not as long as mainline stories.
No.
So, yeah, you can just kind of blow through those pretty easily, especially Book 2, which is ridiculously easy. Not entirely sure. Well, it was a Game Gear game, so I'm guessing it was 2 and 3 handheld. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. But hey, it was still fun. Yeah, I started on the GBA version, which is really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's got, it's like, the look of the game is kind of weird, because obviously for a handheld screen, they had to kind of draw the characters appropriately, so you'd be able to see them. So they kind of have this weird, kind of deformed look, but it works out okay for the most part. Yeah, it's definitely a remake. I'm really enjoying it. I'm kind of liking the fact that they've added a lot more context to the original story, which is always a good thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And the fact that the game came across as well as it did on the GBA just speaks volumes to how meticulous they were about the remake.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's like they added a card system in there, which I'm not entirely sure. I think it's a CCG part of it, or where it's actually effect cards that you can add to your party. I'm not entirely sure at the moment. So yeah, I'm going to be getting more into that and figuring out what the hell's going on there. But it seems pretty cool. I very much like what they did with the soundtrack for the most part. Some instruments on the GBA just don't quite come across quite well.
No,
most of it does. So, it's actually quite a good remake, and I'm going to be playing a lot more of that after the show. Probably, I don't know, get through a couple chapters at least. It's nice playing it on RetroArch because you have access to the shaders and actually make the game look pretty darn nice.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's clean up a lot of that pixelated stuff that you get from low resolution GBA games. So, it comes out pretty cool. And
if you want a good example of the GBA sound hardware done right, then when you're done with your whole Shining Force thing, circle back around and try Castlevania Circle of the Moon.
Yeah.
That was a masterwork on the GBA sound chip.
Okay. I'll definitely do that. I mean, the Castlevania game's always been pretty good, and I completely missed the GBA versions for obvious reasons.
Now's your chance.
Yep. Once I get my PS3 all fixed and set up, well, I'm going to be dumping all of those on the PS3 and be able to play those on the larger screen. So that should be
fun. Now do I just have to put everything on the USB stick and it'll dump over no problem?
You can play them straight off the USB stick if you want to.
I'd rather not.
Yeah, but if you the easiest way to do it, as far as RetroArch goes, is to enable the FTP function in your network settings. Connect via FTP, and then just go into the RetroArch ROMs folder and just start putting them all in there. And then we'll see them. So yeah, it's not too particularly difficult, and obviously the more space you have, the better. So
Well, I cleaned up about half a terabyte before I actually did the mod, so...
Yeah, you got plenty of room for ROMs and stuff in there.
Yep.
Yeah, so, good stuff. Yeah. And apart from that, I've been doing some random PS2 games here and there. Been playing Luminous Plus, which is really the only version of Luminous you actually need. Just saying.
It's a straight port of the original Luminous, so it doesn't break the million point barrier.
No.
So I just ended up with a bunch of nines on my scoreboard. That bothered me.
Yeah. Has there actually been the Luminous game that's actually fixed that bug? I think HD.
Yeah, they fixed it with Luminous 2. Luminous Live fixed it. Yeah. Pretty much every version since.
Yeah.
I don't know about the one on Switch, but everything else.
Yeah, I'd imagine they probably did. Wouldn't make sense to bring it out now and still have a bug in there.
They probably figured out shortly after PSP launch, hey, people are pretty good at this. Might need to enable larger scores.
Yep. So, but yeah, I've been just basically going through my PS2 box and ripping the ISOs onto my PC and trying out the PCSX2 emulator to see which ones work. And for the most part, they all do.
Good. So
the compatibility has actually gotten pretty darn good.
So it's basically the PS1 compatibility on PS2.
Yeah, it's getting there, yeah.
It's really good.
Yeah. Except for Ridge Racer 5, for some reason, has weird graphical issues.
That was one of the ones that I was looking forward to.
I'm gonna have to hit the PCSX2 wiki to see if that...
Not talking about... PS3.
No. Okay. Yeah, I threw Ridge Racer 5 on the PS3. It works just fine. So, yeah, I was doing it on the PC here. Yeah.
Okay.
Basically, what I've been doing is just making images of all of my discs, trying them out on the emulator on the PC, and just to see how that's been going while I get my PS3 ready. You know? So.
Sounds good.
Yeah. So that's been pretty much it. So what about you, Brandon? Oh, Pat, I mean.
NHL 19. Hmm. That game has... just swallowed up my entire life. I'm doing some World of Chell. I'm doing some, franchise mode. I'm still building my expansion team and sending them out to develop and start to gel together. It's going pretty well. We're playing 500 hockey, which is magnificent for an expansion team not called the Vegas Golden Knights. Going to be going into some Be A Pro stuff here in a couple days, I think. But it just continually astonishes me how many ways there are to play this that are dramatically different, and they just appeal to so many different types of tastes. It's just the complete hockey experience on a disc.
Yeah, it's you were mentioning you could play this game pretty much any way you want.
Yes.
Like, if I want to just get in there and play the management part of it, do I still get a complete enough game?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I'm doing right now. I've got my expansion team playing a live game in front of me with the roster that I have fine-tuned and, set the coaching strategies for and everything. And all you have to do is tell it that I want to play CPU versus CPU at the start of each game.
Yeah.
Sweet. And the CPU will go out and it will execute the strategy you give it with the line combinations and everything that you tell it to implement. And I think they made this understanding that I forget what it's called now, but East Side Hockey Manager is back on the PC.
Yeah.
And has been for a little while. And so they have to step up their franchise mode game, and they've certainly done it.
I think this is the year I might be picking it up again.
Yeah. Well, I've got the Xbox version if you want to play it all together.
Yeah. I don't have an Xbox anymore, so that...
Oh, yeah, that's right. Crap. Yeah,
probably it'll be on PS4.
I might pick up a PS4 version sooner or later.
Yeah.
But get in some threes, get in some franchise mode. There's just so many ways to experience NHL 19 that I wouldn't know what to tell somebody who couldn't find a way to enjoy it.
Yeah. Cool. So how about yourself, Brandon?
Well, my primary for this week has been Divinity Original Sin 2. I think I'm just about done with it. I finally managed to make a little bit of progress last night, because as I mentioned on Let's Weekend, I was getting my ass kicked in that game, and I finally managed to make some progress, remember, I'm playing on story mode, which is supposed to be the quote-unquote easy mode in the game, and it is still very challenging, so... I've sort of managed to tweak some of my characters in such a way that I've been able to make a few baby steps as far as progress is. I managed to win a battle that had been really sort of infuriating me for a little while, but it was pretty much a war of attrition. Basically me killing maybe one or two enemies and then having to retreat back to one of the saving points so that I can resurrect some of my characters and get full health back again, and then trudge back and continue the fight. I finally finished that, and now I've got another big battle I got to do, and that one's probably going to take even longer. Hopefully I'll have it finished before Tuesday, because Tuesday I got to take it over to GameStop and use it for store credit so I can get what's going to be releasing this week. Yeah. Getting to that in a little bit. But
are you still salty?
Oh yeah, extremely. I don't like paying for things, but
well, at least you're honest about it.
And other thing, Super Mario Odyssey. I decided to go back to it. I haven't played it in a while, and I decided, you know, I needed to supplement my gaming between this isometric RPG that is just resolutely kicking my ass. And then I played Super Mario Odyssey and immediately remembered why I managed to go through this game in about 3 days.
Yeah. It's brilliant.
It's unbelievably addictive in ways that are... And, you know, the thing is about it is it's probably the first Mario game in a long time that absolutely embraced the weirdness. Because Mario games, I mean, we all know that Mario's universe by its very nature is unbelievably strange.
Yeah.
But the thing is that it has its sort of internal logic to it. You know, ever since Mario debuted back in the 80s, and we've sort of had a slow, you know, stream of Mario games coming out of that, we have a basic, we have a basic idea of how the Mario universe functions. There's method to the madness. And then, you know, you suddenly start being able to throw your hat onto a dinosaur and then possess the dinosaur. The very, might I add, photorealistic-looking dinosaur. And, yep, all bets are off.
It's like, this makes no sense, and I don't care.
That's pretty much been it. Chris, what about you?
Yeah, so as I mentioned on Let's Weekend, I have been jumping into Destiny 2 Forsaken, their big expansion. And it's going well. I decided to start up the Forsaken series of missions, which the first one is really quite good.
Mm-hmm.
So if you remember the big E3 trailers for the game where they showed Cade 6 being killed.
Yeah.
That's what happens in this first mission where your guardian is going with Cade to the Reef's Prison of Elders.
Mm-hmm.
Which is sort of big prison for a lot of the big criminals in the galaxy, and it's sort of going into chaos as security has fallen apart and the prisoners have taken over. And so you go in, and there are just a ton of enemies fighting, primarily between each other. So you see a lot of Cabal facing off against Fallen, and the Hive is in there a good bit, as well as introduce the new faction, which not sure what they're called just yet because I've only done this first mission, but all throughout you split up with Cade, and so that he has taken on some people and you're taking on others, and it comes to a head where he faces off against these new, like, corrupted faction that has, like, a really great cutscene of action where he's just doing a great job of just fucking shit up. But then his his the little robot dude gets killed. That essentially facilitates your ability to resurrect. And so without that, he is essentially at risk of dying. And the seems like the big bad reveals himself, finishes him off, and now you're on course to take him down. And sort of get revenge for Cade. And yeah, the weird thing is I don't think it was Nathan Fillion voicing him this time around. I think from what I've heard, it's Nolan North doing a Nathan Fillion impression, which was pretty good for what that is. Yeah, I assume Nathan Fillion must be pretty busy with some of his stuff. But yeah, I'm diving a bit more into some of the stuff I talked about on Let's Weekend as far as like the way they do triumphs and collections sort of make it a lot easier to know like all the stuff that there is in the game. And figuring out like how you can get the different items that you don't have, and it does a good job of saying, you know, like this you can find on get as rewards for activities on this planet, or you get this one from the Crucible, the multiplayer stuff, that sort of stuff that really works well. And for the triumphs, starting up the Forsaken missions, I actually got lore. So there's actual lore. It's in the game. You can read it. So you can sort of learn more about what's going on and all that, which is great. It also led to me finding something in the tower as essentially like a Yelp review that Cade did about this ramen restaurant. Some really stupid thing. That is great and perfect for as stupid as that sounds. And yeah, so I'm starting to wrap my head around some of the new stuff they've done with the weapons. So they've added this whole system of like new way of doing the upgrades and such, because no longer can you just do it kind of simply. It requires like master core or masterwork cores, which masterworks are items that drop that have like a yellow border around their icon. Which I got a few months ago and wasn't entirely sure what they were other than being more powerful items. But you break those down, you get the masterwork cores, which is sort of now needed, along with other resources for sort of feeding weapons into new equipment, which I think is supposed to be tended as like a barrier for you just feeding stuff into just using like all the new drops you get to feed into your favorite items. Sort of kind of getting you to try new stuff. Because there is a lot of new stuff. I even got some stuff that requires like a 500 light level, which I'm at like 360. Like level 43, something like that. Like I think the new cap is at 50 and I'm 35, 36. Just sort of going along and doing stuff. I also jumped into the multiplayer a bit, which I have bounties for a number of things. Just playing matches. A lot of it's been solar based, getting kills with solar abilities and weapons and such. So I've been trying that stuff out, and yeah, it's really good. It's very much, I think what the people that would play Destiny just endlessly have wanted out of this, which is just kind of an endless supply of bounties and things to do that helps them just give them more reason to stick around. That seems like that's going to be a good thing. I'm looking forward to getting the bow, because that's like their big new weapon, and it's supposed to be really good.
Have they backed away on the engram stuff?
No, it's still there, but you get bounties from that merchant in the in the tower, which you get bright dust, which you can use to buy specific specific items that she offers. Because she'll offer like loot crates if you want, but also has like a selection of items, weapons, the mounts, and all that sort of stuff that are just specific that you can buy with this bright dust, which is sort of like their earned currency versus the paid currency. So yeah, They give you a lot more ways to just get drops and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Which I have some nice, like, emotes. Which I have one that is essentially Daniel Bryan's yes chant, which is great. As well as I have, so there's like a series of really cool emotes that are, where you have like this neon, like, thing that, like, prop that essentially shows up.
Yeah.
I have one that's like flipping a table over, like anger. I have another one that is a popcorn bucket. Mm. So you're just like chowing on popcorn and like just watching the drama or shit go down, that sort of stuff. So there's a lot of good stuff, as well as all the dance stuff you expect. Like there's like the Thriller dance and a bunch of other stuff.
Mm.
I assume they probably have a lot of Fortnite stuff in there. Though, Phil, for Forza Horizon 4, I believe they have a bunch of dances for your avatar now. And there are a lot of, like, Fortnite stuff in there and all that.
Yeah.
So now, like, if you win races, I guess you'll see your character come out with the car and then dance or whatever.
Yeah. Just let it all hang out.
Yeah.
Should be dancing on the roof of the car, but, you know.
Yeah. But now they're going to be offering ways to pay for this stuff, so they're going to naturally make it easier to see it.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, Forza 7, you don't see anything.
Yeah, it's just the guy standing around.
Yeah. Woo! And I have the Viva Pinata suit, so I see that in the races.
Yeah.
Because your gloves are that kind of pinata paper style. But, yeah. As for some more classic stuff, I've been playing a bit of Super Metroid and Link to the Past on my 3DS. These are games I've never really played much.
Oh, wow.
I never played them on the Super Nintendo. I didn't know they existed then. Just being that kind of like isolated place with no internet or magazines are really to say, hey, these are the good games.
Yeah,
you should play. I mostly play like Yoshi's Island, Super Mario Kart, Super Mario World, and some other stuff. Donkey Kong Country, those were ones I mostly played. But yeah, so Super Metroid, I have been sort of putting more time into it. That's a lot easier to just play it because I can just, you know, put it down and do the save states and all that. So it's pretty easy to just put like, you know, 10, 15 minutes in, put it down, not have to worry about getting save points or all that stuff.
Yeah.
Which I'm at the point where I got the charge beam. And so now I'm just looking around for what to do with that. Thing I don't like about the 3DS Virtual Console is you can't do controller mapping.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So activating the... Like I have the missiles into super missiles, and activating that is pushing select.
Yeah.
Which is not an easy thing to do when you're on a 3DS.
Mm.
When you're trying to, you know, do stuff with the face buttons. Mm. I have a 3DS XL, new 3DS XL, so it's like a good bit near the bottom of the bottom part of the 3DS.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's just kind of awkward. Whereas I kind of wish I could throw that on like the extra shoulder buttons.
Mm.
The only thing I can do with those is I think you can switch controllers with them.
Yeah.
If you hold them both down, you can like do like a swap of controllers. I don't know why. Hmm. There's probably some game that uses that, but otherwise, I've also been putting time to Link to the Past. Again, a game I never really played, so I am kind of at a point where I'm just wandering around because I don't know where I'm supposed to go.
Hmm.
The map has like three things on it.
Yep.
I think I've gone to like all three, and I couldn't figure out how to get to them.
Do the green one first.
Yeah. I'll have to jump back into that, but yeah, I don't like the people in the town. They're narcs.
Yeah.
Especially when I hang out, it's like, oh, hey, what are you doing? It's like, guards, there's that guy that killed the princess or kidnapped the princess. It's like, what? I didn't do anything like that, you jerk.
Hmm.
And I had to kill everybody. And it's, yeah, just kind of wandering around in that game. But
yeah, I recommend if you see chickens to beat the shit out of them.
I know what happens with that, because every other game that has chickens does the same thing now.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of classics, I've been messing around with the Nintendo Switch Online NES games.
Yeah.
So there are things that are needed for those things. Controller mapping. Mm. Because I have a pro controller.
Yeah.
And NES games only use two buttons on that.
Yeah.
I'd like to have the ability to remap them to other buttons. Also needs manuals. So if you haven't played these games before, you can figure out how to do that.
Yeah.
If I was playing Tecmo Bowl and trying to figure out how to switch characters doesn't make any sense. Or trying to figure out how to throw.
Yeah.
Or snap the ball or do some of those things. Like, it doesn't make sense other than just pushing one of your two buttons and figure out, okay, is this doing something?
Yeah.
Is this doing what I think it is? I was like, I don't know how to switch receivers when passing. So I just threw the same one over and over again.
I'll just say that if you look up the NES Classic manuals, like Nintendo has those on their site. And since pretty much all of those games are on the NES Classic, you can probably use those to figure out what's going on.
It would just be nice if you could do that on the Switch itself.
Yeah.
Because having to look somewhere else for essentially like a wiki is not ideal. Yeah. They do have save states, 4 per game.
Yeah.
So you actually have a good bit of variety you can do. It's actually pretty snappy, which they're NES games. They're small. They should be really fast, too. Mm-hmm. Like, you click on them, and it's immediately starting.
Yeah.
So that's really nice presentation-wise. What else is there? Leaderboards would be nice for the score-chasing games.
Yeah.
And it's like... people are like, that's not how they were. And like, yeah, they didn't have online play either, but Nintendo figured that out. Leaderboards should be something they could do for like Donkey Kong and the other games are all about score attacks.
Yeah.
And also it needs like public matchmaking. So when you go into it, you have the option to play online for those games.
Yeah.
And it'll just show you like sessions that your friends are in.
Oh.
And so if they're not playing anything... then you're not playing online.
That's kind of an oversight.
Yeah. So need some way of having other people's sessions to show up so you can be like, okay, I want to play, some co-op or play Dr. Mario multiplayer. Other than just adding people to your friends list that are playing that, that are going to play that, then you don't have no way to play it multiplayer unless you have somebody locally.
Yeah.
Those are like the core issues with that stuff. But otherwise, it's pretty good. From what I've seen, it's the same emulator that's in the NES Classic.
Yeah.
Which
that's a good emulator.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Also led to some bad stuff, I guess, from what we have on our news. But it works pretty well. I'm on the trial right now. I'll probably pick up the year sub. This week. I want to get the chance. Multiplayer is basically the same. I played some Rocket League online, and it works the same as it did before.
Yeah, well, I can't imagine that they would have changed much.
Yeah. But it's like, okay, this all works as intended.
Yeah. Now they're just charging you for the stuff that already worked.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, as I said, it was a beta, essentially.
Yeah.
A very extended beta. Year and a half. But, it's pretty good for the most part. They just need to work on that, the emulator.
Oh, yes.
Such, and just keep adding stuff.
So now, do all of the games for the past year and a half that used to work online for free, are those all tied to the online service now?
All the paid stuff. If it's free to play, I believe it stays free to play.
Yeah.
For the online, so like Fortnite and...
I was thinking more along the lines of Super Bomberman.
Everything. Everything that's a paid game that you pay
for.
Yeah, same as the PS4.
So did they have to go back and patch every game, or...?
No, I think it's just all use their network services.
Yeah,
and so that just now is paid. Yeah. I think part of also this update is that it essentially allows the same sort of game sharing that PS4 and Xbox One now offer, as far as having your account be tied to somebody else's console. so they can play your stuff offline.
Yeah.
While you have to be online on your home console. Like that sort of game sharing. So that's now possible on the Switch. Since now you have to have a Nintendo Network account attached to your profile on your console.
Yeah.
Now they locked that down. I think you could move it freely before. Hmm. But now it's all locked down because now you got to pay for it.
Yeah.
You got to pick an account, stick with it. Hmm. Or it's already stuck now. But, yeah. Most of that's pretty good. It just needs to, especially the emulator stuff, just evolve. Get some Super Nintendo stuff on there, more NES stuff.
Yeah.
You can move the stuff around, the games on there, so you can order it however you want, which meant I moved the Legend of Zelda from being in the T section to the L section.
Yeah.
That was the only thing I did. That's the only game in there.
Yeah.
Like, this is not often.
It's like when you start the NES emulator, it's like, does it just grab all of the games, or do you actually...
Yeah, it just shows you, if you've seen that picture of like all the box art,
yeah,
that's the emulator. That's what you see when you start it up. Hmm. The save backup stuff is a little bit weird. So when you sign up for it, it doesn't automatically back up everything.
Hmm.
You have to either start up the games, or you go into the settings where there's now a save management screen, and then tell everything to back up.
Hmm.
Then once it's backed up, it'll start doing it automatically.
Okay.
You know, for obvious reasons, I don't even think I'd fuck with the cloud saves.
Yeah. The weird thing is, well, the thing I figured out is that demos don't back up, so they don't support it at all.
Yeah. Most demos don't save, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's still
looking Octopath at
Octopath
did.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was looking at the stuff that was on there that was saying didn't support, which was like Splatoon 2 and the Splatoon 2 the beta they had. I guess I still had the save file from that.
Oops.
Because you can't delete anything without leaving the save, I think.
Mm.
It always has that weird screen where it's like, gives you two options for delete and archive, but both say they'll still leave the save. Mm. It's like, what's the difference between these? So I still have some stuff there, like just those test events they had.
Yeah.
For that, ARMS, that wasn't on there, and there's like a couple of other things that weren't on there, but yeah. For the most part, it seems pretty decent for what it is, especially for what you're paying for. I really want the special offer stuff to be more on par with like what PlayStation Plus gets with deals.
Yeah.
Like extra deals on the games. Mm. Versus just, here's a special item you can buy.
Yeah.
Or here's a free code for some Splatoon gear.
That you don't want.
That's like the other thing. That's like, okay, I guess.
Mm.
Like, the nice thing PlayStation Plus gets you is like a free like starter pack for pretty much every free-to-play game.
Yeah.
That would be nice, especially for like Fallout Shelter, which I play a decent bit on there. And my Shelter is way behind my PS4 one. I don't play it as much, but also you didn't get the boosters there. So it's like I still have like one of every room type that I have early on, and still don't have enough people to send out for like three missions at a time. So still kind of baby steps on that version, but yeah, it's all right.
So Switch Online, it's okay.
Yeah.
It's a thing.
Yeah.
It's just really laggy.
Well, some games. That doesn't seem to be a universal thing.
I love getting into Rocket League and forgetting I have some video streaming. And 'cause that game shows you the pings on the right up front, so it's like, oh shit, I'm the asshole that's screwing everything up.
Yeah.
Especially if it's like I'm streaming Rocket League matches.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I like Rocket League. I want to play some Rocket League. Oh, wait, I forgot to turn it off. And I've got 300 ping, and I'm the asshole where the ball is just bouncing around randomly.
Yeah. All right, so let's get on to the show itself then, I guess. So, releasing this week, Valkyria Chronicles 4.
Yep. And I'm getting it, and I'm buying it. I will be reviewing it.
Yep. Two or more days.
And from what I've been paying attention to, it's been getting really good reviews pretty much all across the board. So
yeah.
So we're gonna see how that ends up being. And well, it's coming out on pretty much all of the things. So Yay. You get to pick on, you get to pick what platform you want to play it on. So, so yeah, stay tuned for that. And now we'll get into...
We also got Life is Strange 2.
Oh yeah, I forgot that. Yeah, because it just showed up.
Yeah, I just added it because I forgot about it. Yeah, it's going to be pretty cool, especially with our first bit of news. Like, here's somebody that's doing essentially the same thing, except more responsibly.
So, two different studios, and yeah, dovetails really nicely into the news that Telltale Games is shutting down. They're leaving a crew of about 25 people there to finish up their obligations.
Yeah, and, which is just Minecraft story mode for Netflix.
Yeah, and then that's so then they're done.
Yeah, the second episode for the final season of The Walking Dead is releasing this week.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that seems like that's going to be it. Yeah. So you don't have to worry about Clementine's fate because she's never going to die.
Yeah,
she's just stuck there.
We'll don't finish the story. She lives in your heart always.
Yeah, we'll be getting to that in just a minute. But of course, Life is Strange too. Yeah, that's also coming out. Looks like it's going to be. For one thing, it definitely looks like they've got better production value this time around.
Yeah,
doesn't look quite as low budget.
Yep.
Which, to be honest, that low budgetness was kind of the charm of the original. But
yeah, it definitely fit the vibe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it seems like this time around, they've upgraded the engine and all that. And it seems like it's in line with their increased price for it, because I think it's $40 for the season.
Mm-hmm.
So about $8 an episode versus $5 for the first season.
All right. So yeah, Telltale. Apparently they were badly managed.
Yeah, so Telltale basically all but died this week. They sent out a message laying off the majority of their employees. There's now like only about approximately 25 people from like the 200 something people they had hired, so that they can, you know, fulfill the contractual obligations before they finally cease operations altogether.
Yep.
I'll be honest, looking back, we can kind of all see it coming. You know, they really hit their stride when The Walking Dead. You know, the first season came out and was like a big success.
Yeah.
And the problem is they expanded too quickly and took on too many projects at once. And it, you know, if you've seen what they did during that time, it did greatly affect the quality of their work.
And they didn't upgrade their tech early enough. Mm-hmm. They waited way too long. That affected the look and the feel of the games,
because
you've played any of their recent seasons, it feels like an engine that's probably about 2 or 3 years past where it should have ended.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They were in the process of upgrading to Unity and hiring people for that.
Yeah.
Yep.
And yeah, they were doing some interesting stuff with, I think, the final season of Walking Dead.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, like, doing some evolving of their mechanics and such. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was almost too little too late.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that season's not going to get finished.
Nope.
It's possible they might hand it off to another company to finish it, but
yeah, well, that's going to be the license holder's decision. Cause, there's a lot of people that paid for a season, you know, they agreed to a certain amount of episodes, and if they don't deliver that, that's breach of contract, and they can get sued for that.
Yep.
Well, of course, if the studio doesn't exist, it doesn't really matter, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Apparently, also, from what a lot of the people who got laid off from Telltale have been sort of decided, you know, quite understandably, they've started airing out all the dirty laundry, and apparently Telltale was kind of a shitty place to work for.
There's one person here that's been primarily giving out this information, Emily Buck, who worked there.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, there's a good thread here, Twitter thread I've linked that we can sort of go over. Around 250 people are jobless, not 225. We did not get any kind of severance. Nope. Her health care only lasts for one more week. Many former employees were contract and thus don't qualify for unemployment. So due to the insanely high cost of living in the Bay Area, relative to their pay scale, many of them were working paycheck to paycheck.
Yeah.
And so now don't have any money coming in. There are people that started at Telltale as recently as a week ago. Some people have children. So there's at least one of them that relocated cross-country for this job. A lot of the Telltale devs have famous children, now are out at least one person's paycheck. And no severance to help out. There's a hashtag Telltale Jobs on Twitter for anybody that is hiring in the industry to share openings, and lots of companies have been doing that.
Mm-hmm. The industry is always really good to come together and get each other's back during times like this.
Yeah. Let's see.
To be honest, this is why game developers need a union.
Yeah.
For exactly the crap like this.
Yep.
Let's see. The Wolf Among Us Season 2 has been canceled. Stranger Things is canceled. So Netflix has said they're looking into other options for getting a Stranger Things game out there, which seems like Don't Nod would be a good idea now.
Yeah, I think Don't Nod stock is about to rise.
Let's see. She just talks about people sending hot takes to her and the other employees on Twitter, and it's like, you know what? Don't. We know the fuck-ups the company's had. We knew things weren't great. We tried our best or couldn't do anything to change the fortunes of the company, and we just wanted to make good games for you. And now we're SOL.
Yeah.
Let's see. Oh, she got confirmation that at least one former Telltale employee was a former national here on a work visa. Now has to leave the country within days. So,
that's
basically cool. The people that were managing the company are just complete assholes that were irresponsible with their people's lives.
That's sadly happens a lot.
Now they've potentially ruined a lot of people. And I saw another person from Telltale talking about how, you know what, don't work overtime if you're not getting paid for it. Talk about working a lot of late nights and weekends to try to make their work as good as possible. And it's like, yeah, don't do that if you're not getting paid for it. It's not worth it.
Yeah. Yeah, I gotta wonder, this would have been something that if Telltale could have been acquired, probably could have been avoided.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I
assume they probably looked into that. But I also assume that their worth is probably not that much, considering all their work is licensed.
Yeah.
Their engine's old. Like, there's no tech there, really, that anybody wants.
Yeah.
Like, hey, here's an old Xbox 360, PS3 engine that, you know, was at its peak, like, 8 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, if you would be buying Telltale, you wouldn't be buying it for tech, you wouldn't be buying it for the properties that they have under their belt, you're buying it for their style and their storytelling.
Which their staff is leaving.
Yeah, so
that's gone.
You got nothing. it's shitty situation, really.
Yep. About as bad as it could be.
Yeah. So, which moves us on to Capcom, who closed the Capcom Vancouver studio. I think this is a studio that's responsible for the Dead Rising games.
Yes,
Dead
Rising 2 onward. They also did the Puzzle Fighter mobile game.
Okay.
Yep.
It got shut down like months after it launched.
That was probably not a good sign.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think also Dead Rising 4 was not a good sign.
Well, yeah, that game was
not
good.
It wasn't the game fans wanted. It didn't do well.
Yeah.
Also partially because they put it only on the Xbox One. They did the Tomb Raider thing.
Mm-hmm.
Except by the time, nobody really cared for it when it launched on Xbox One.
Yeah.
So people really didn't care for it when it came
out on PS4.
So it's like they just kind of killed it both ends.
Yeah.
So now they're taking... I think that's pretty much the only external studio they had.
Mm.
So now it's largely everything is back in Japan.
Pretty much.
Games.
Yeah. Mm. I, I, I briefly wonder whether or not Capcom was doing this deliberately. Because it seems to me like if you're... Well, I guess it doesn't. I guess you don't have to be deliberate to make really stupid management decisions.
Yeah.
You might think it's the right thing to do at the time. Maybe Microsoft gives you a nice little paycheck to keep the game exclusive, and you think you have something that might hit. Mm-hmm. And it turns out it doesn't, and now you're kind of stuck.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the fact that they shuttered the studio instead of, like, looking at other options, like, well, maybe they can do another project that might actually hit, but...
I think I was part of this, because it said here, as a result of reviewing titles in development at Capcom Vancouver, Capcom has decided to cancel development projects at the studio. We'll concentrate development of major titles in Japan, so I think they got the pitches from Capcom Vancouver and what they wanted to work on next, and they didn't particularly like anything, think there was much there.
Yeah, that or Capcom really just wants to take everything in-house at this point.
I'm sure that helped.
Didn't Capcom recently announce that they lost a good chunk of change this quarter?
Partly with this.
Yeah, I
like
think they're
$40 million they've put down as like a loss for this.
Yeah, I think they're kind of in the midst of restructuring.
Yeah.
Which kind of need to do because... I mean, let's be honest. Like I said, they lost a good chunk of change, and they need to start. They need to relook at their operations because it's not working really well right now.
Yeah, they got
can't coast on Street Fighter and Mega Man forever.
No,
they got Mega Man 11 coming up a couple weeks.
Yeah, probably pretty well.
I think they've realized they've got some potential hits coming up with their. Like Resident Evil 2, Devil May Cry 5, Mega Man 11, and Monster Hunter World is continuing to do well. Mm-hmm. So I say, yeah, we need to focus around our internal studios because they're finally back on track.
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, it's kind of sad that these people are all losing their jobs, but the development scene in Vancouver is actually pretty vibrant. So
Yeah.
Yeah, Piranha Games is over there, and, you know, they're about set to do some pretty spectacular stuff with the MechWarrior franchise, so...
Yeah, it seems like a lot of Capcom Vancouver employees have been going over to EA Vancouver.
Yep.
So it seems like...
Rammer's probably hiring.
Yeah. So, well, we'll see how that continues to develop. Keep an eye on it.
I would be surprised if Rammer wasn't hiring, considering how much meat there is on the bones of the NHL franchise these days.
Yeah. So, cool. Well, not really cool. These people lost their jobs, but I think...
Yeah.
They're going to be well taken care of.
No.
I assume they got severance and all that, so they're not screwed as Telltale.
As the Telltale
I'm pretty sure Capcom would actually do this properly, at least as far as closing a studio goes.
The folks who got laid off from Telltale, maybe they should check and make sure they... and. Because they might, like we said earlier, they might be getting a phone call from Don't Nod soon.
Yeah.
Yep. So. The game industry takes care of itself.
Yeah.
So move on to, I guess this happened like at the beginning of the week, and it kind of came out as a surprise, but not really.
Because we all kind of predicted it would happen, just, you know, not this soon.
Yeah. So they announced the PlayStation Classic Mini. And take my money, please.
Yeah. Although I will point out, and this is sort of something that some other folks have pointed out, the thing about like old PlayStation 1 games is that unlike, say, the Nintendo or the Super Nintendo, graphically, a lot of them haven't really held up all that well.
Yeah, a lot of them don't really hold up too well, but...
I think there are plenty that do.
Yeah.
There are two that are still legit classics, but that's also kind of in spite of the fact that they look like ass. Some of them looked like ass even back then. So
yeah.
But, you know, with emulation, you can kind of clean some of that stuff up a little bit. So and we're not entirely sure of, like, the complete lineup. Like, we've got five games so far that we do know of.
Yeah.
So
Final Fantasy VII, Jumping Flash.
Yep.
R4, Ridge Racer Type 4, Tekken 3, and Wild Arms.
Yeah,
some of these we kind of saw coming.
Yeah.
Like, we knew Final Fantasy VII was going to be there.
If you don't watch it with Final Fantasy VII, you fucked up.
Yeah, because Final Fantasy VII, that's the game that made PS1 in the West. I mean...
Yeah, because so they announced that, and like, it was like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
The fuck did you do, Nintendo?
Yeah. So far of the five games, you've got two Sony first party, two Namco, and one Square Enix.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Interesting. No Konami yet, but, you know, they're...
Notorious for backing these kinds of projects.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Metal Gear and Symphony of the Night would seem like easy ones to get on there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then they need to, like they did with the NES. Yeah, like also like what they did with the NES and the SNES, they need to throw in a curveball, like a wild card. So
if it didn't work...
I mean, we've already got Jumping Flash on there.
Yeah, but we need something more significant than that.
Yeah, I thought of a game the other
Define
day.
Define significant.
Yeah.
Something really out of left field, or...
Yeah,
like
something
a Star Fox 2 vibe.
Yeah.
Like, Fib Ribbon would work for that, but except for the fact that there's no disc. She needs CDs for that game to really work.
Yeah.
So I was talking to Phil the other day, and I actually came up with a list of 20 games that I think will be on it, which is why I asked that.
Yeah. Well, Killing the DNA Imperative is... Yeah, definitely out there.
Yeah.
I was going to say something like either... Something like Brave Fencer Musashi or Einhander.
I would love either one of those, and I was kicking myself after I put this list together because I didn't think of Einhander.
Mm-hmm.
But going with everything that's been...
or Bushido Blade.
Oh, yes.
Here's what I came up with.
Mm-hmm.
Castlevania Symphony of the Night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Crash Bandicoot.
Yeah, that one I actually...
Crash and Spyro would be perfect.
Yeah. Crash and or Spyro. Because, the thing is, though, is that we've got, the... new Crash remasters, and we've got the new Spyro collection collection that's coming out in November. Right. So
this would be an interesting other side of the coin to that.
Yeah.
So now here's one out of left field, but it also fits the it checks a few of the boxes of what could get on there because it's a Namco game and they were basically Namco or Sony's first party by proxy for the first several years. Cyber Sled.
Oh, yeah.
That was a really fun game back in the day.
Yes, it was.
It didn't rely on the DualShock, so it ticks that box. It was either launch or post-launch, and it was a Namco title, so that's probably going to get it some consideration in and of itself.
Yeah.
So then you got Final Fantasy VII, which has already been confirmed.
Mm-hmm.
Grandia, which was handled very closely by Sony first party when it came to the PlayStation.
Yeah.
Gran Turismo 2.
Yeah, isn't there already supposed to be a Gran Turismo on there?
They haven't announced one yet.
Yeah, well, I'm pretty...
It probably will be two.
Yeah.
Man, that would be great. I don't know how licensing would work out for that.
Yeah, that's the issue, because Gran Turismo, they usually have to pay a pretty penny for...
Well, they could just stick the Japanese soundtrack on it.
Yeah,
that's true.
And, but also car licenses.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
Because we haven't
probably still have most of those.
Probably. Yeah.
Like, we haven't seen Forza show up on BC, like the mainline ones.
Yeah,
So moving on from that, Kiliak the DNA Imperative, it's Sony first party, it's a launch title. It's definitely different than anything else that would be going into this collection.
Yeah.
And so that would give it a little bit of diversity in the lineup. And then another Sony first party that I think deep down is a lock for this, The Legend of the Dragoon.
Yes.
I wouldn't mind that.
Yeah.
That whole franchise, unfortunately, has never been treated very well, in spite of the fact that it is loaded with just amazing titles inside of it.
Yep. So moving on from that, sticking with Sony first party, it's an RPG, Legend of Legaia.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could definitely see that one happening.
Yeah.
So, Here comes Konami again, Metal Gear Solid. I think that one has to be on there.
Yeah, because that was like one of the big hits in sort of the PlayStation's twilight age.
And that requires other Konami games, so you can have the Psycho Mantis moment.
Yeah. Well, we've already got Symphony of the Night on that list, so there you go.
Yeah, I'll keep in mind. There's a curveball here in that the PlayStation Classic Mini supports OG PlayStation memory cards.
Yep.
Does it?
Yes.
Oh, mm-hmm. Really?
Yes.
Now that's cool. Had virtual memory cards.
Yeah, it has virtual and it also has support for the physical ones as well.
Nice.
It says here you can't pop PS1 memory cards into it.
That's weird. I read a report that said that you could.
Huh.
So, yeah.
We'll find out later.
Yeah.
Now, probably the most tenuous one on my version of the list, Namco Museum Volume 1.
Yeah.
I think it has a really good chance just to get some really old school gaming on there. But
if you did that, it would essentially, multiply the overall titles, the available games in it by a good chunk. So, if they could pull that off, it would definitely be a coup. I'll give them that.
Well, Namco probably would be open to it.
I mean, they'll pimp out Pac-Man for anything, so.
Yeah. Right? So, R4, Ridge Racer Type 4, we already know about.
Mm-hmm.
Soul Blade.
Okay, so the Soul Blade, the console version, that not Soul Edge.
Right.
Okay. I can definitely see that one. Considering the fact that Soul Calibur is like a major
institution now.
Yeah, having the original Soul Blade on there would make sense.
If you're gonna put another fighter on there, that's about as good as you can get anyway.
Yep.
Yeah.
So after that, Spyro the Dragon, I think, is as much of a lock as possible.
Yeah. What about? Oh no, never mind. I was going to say Jack and Daxter, but that's a PS2 title.
Yep.
Yep.
Hello again, Konami. There's Suikoden.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right. Suikoden. Really? One or two? Just one.
One.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I just don't think they would go for Suikoden 2 on there. It would be interesting if they were both there because of the save transfer and everything, but I think we're just going to see a bunch of one-offs from every franchise.
Yeah.
After that, Tales of Destiny.
Mm-hmm.
Namco again, an RPG again.
That one, as good as that after. One was, it's very sought after, but I don't know.
Well, now that sort of the Tales series...
Well, it's rare enough now that I think it would Star Fox 2 this collection.
It's true. Also, considering the fact that, the Tales series has sort of become a bit more... Has become a bit more in sales as far... a bit more as far as international sales are concerned. It's possible they might put Tails on there.
So Tekken 3 and Wild Arms we already know about.
Yep.
And that takes us to the 20th game on this list. It's not Japanese. It's not Sony first party as of its release, but it would become a Sony first party franchise later. And it is an absolute defining PlayStation 1 game, Wipeout XL.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. Wipeout, is that the
futuristic racer?
Oh yeah, the one with the flying motorcycles. Yeah,
no, that's Jet Moto.
Oh, that's Jet Moto.
Is basically their F-Zero competitor.
Yeah. Ah, right. Okay, I was going to say because Jet Moto, that's definitely another one that they
could look at it. Yeah,
yeah.
But I think I think what. Takes Jet Moto out of the equation is the lack of DualShock support.
That's true.
Yeah.
I took that into account across the board.
Yeah. A couple of things, though, that I do want to, bring up, because I've been looking at the photos of this thing. First of all, those controllers hook up via USB. There's nothing
USB
that's really
stopping
them.
Controllers.
Yeah, so, yeah, they could possibly sell USB DualShocks at some point. Or maybe it'll just support PS4 controllers, which probably would be simpler for them.
Path of least resistance.
Yeah.
And I could see some wireless stuff like how they have on the people have made for the Nintendo consoles.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then there's that flap in the back, which looks like it comes off.
Yeah, that's what the original had too.
Yeah, in the original it was a parallel port that you could hook stuff up to. It was very rarely used, but if you had like one of those cheat cartridges, that's where you'd plug that in. Yeah, so imagine if that's hiding a network, an Ethernet jack.
It could also just be a visual thing.
It could be.
Because I
hope that Sony would want to do this properly.
Yeah.
Because, imagine that. An Ethernet port, you plug that in, and then you hook up to PSN, and you're able to download your PS1 classics that you purchased on your account.
I do love how they use the power and reset buttons on there. Power turns it on and off. Reset does a save state, I think it is.
Yeah, save state and goes back to the menu.
And open does...
switches disks.
Yeah. Which would be good for the FF7.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think games that I think would definitely need to be on there is Crash Team Racing. That'd be your Mario Kart for this thing.
Yeah.
Parappa the Rapper. They've remastered the game, so that's like one of those iconic weird games.
Yeah.
For the system. And I think also like you have to have a Hot Shots.
Yeah.
You have one of those, and that's like your de facto sports game. And it's one that's accessible for everybody.
Yeah.
And maybe even a Twisted Metal if you need another multiplayer game on there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would have to be Twisted Metal 2, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because 1 and 3 are basically hot garbage. But
the thing that could throw this sideways if they get Grand Theft Auto 2.
Yeah, that would be a weird one to put on there, but...
It's like, oh, hey, Grand Theft Auto. Except it's 2.
Yeah.
Wait till you find the Elvis impersonators.
Yeah.
This is what Grand Theft Auto was before it went 3D.
Yeah. And was actually, good.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird because, you're looking at the PlayStation and that has... There's just so many really good games that you could put on here that I don't think 20 is enough.
Yeah, it's true.
Sort of like they
got to keep.
Yeah.
Well, they have to keep the number to a certain minimum so that they can put it out, so it won't cost $100. It does cost $100.
Yeah,
that's the sticking point here. Yeah. It's actually compared to the NES and the SNES Classic, it's pretty pricey.
Yeah. Also, if you want more like stuff that's iconic for the PlayStations, like Tomb Raider and Resident Evil 2.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, those are iconic franchises. Mm. Definitely won't happen is the Tony Hawk, because Activision doesn't have the license anymore, and there's probably too much music and such in
which
there.
Which is a shame, because the first two Tony Hawk games are legit classics. So.
Yeah. And, like, a Driver could also be pretty cool.
Oh, I think
yeah.
Right, but I think the thing with Driver though is I think Driver 3 kind of poisoned the well there. So
San Francisco did a great job of kind of bringing it back.
That's true.
And being really stupid.
Excuse me. So hopefully this isn't as hard to get as the NES and SNES classics are.
No, you can still pre-order it.
Yeah.
I was looking. I have it in my Best Buy cart, and I'm probably not going to do it because I don't need something else to hook up to my TV. I've got most of the games I would want on my PS3.
Yeah.
So, $100, like, December 3rd. People wondering.
Yep, December 3rd, the original Japanese launch date of the PlayStation.
USB
1.
Powered.
Yep, doesn't come with a power adapter. Just point that out.
Yeah, if you want specifically something to plug into your wall. You have to go buy that.
Yeah. I'm guessing most TVs these days have enough power in their USB ports to actually power these things, so it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I wonder if you could stick it into, like, a PS4 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Power it.
PS4's USB ports? Yeah, probably. Yeah. So you're powering your PlayStation Classic with your PlayStation 4.
Yeah.
That's just weird. Yeah, you also use one of those big battery, phone charge batteries.
Yeah,
so one of those things too.
Looks pretty good for what it's going to be.
Yeah, I'm gonna actually try to get one of these because I have a feeling the hacking community is going to be all over this.
Yeah, I have a feeling I'm probably going to have to find some way to shore up the cash for one too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I assume it's
believe it or
be...
not, some of these games I never got a chance to actually play.
Yeah.
Because I kind of got the PlayStation kind of later on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was a straight Nintendo guy for almost a decade. So.
Yeah. So.
Now we just need PSM lid stickers to put on the lid.
Mm-hmm.
Just to fuck it up already.
Mm. Well, print your own stickers. So.
Yeah.
In other Sony news, PlayStation Now is going to be getting downloads for PS4 and PS2 classic games.
Yep. Oh, wow.
Shocking.
Yep. This is pretty big. I went and looked at all the games they have on there. It's 220 total PS4 and PS2 games on there. I think it's like 209 PS4 games, 13 PS2 games. Yeah, that's more than Game Pass has right now.
Yeah. It's also,
I think it's like 190 to 220.
Yeah, 190 to 220, but don't forget, PS Now costs 3 times more.
Yeah, it's $20 versus 10.
20? Yeah, okay, it's doubled. Used to be 30, so at least that.
Yep. And they got deals going on right now for the next couple of days. They had a summer promotion that ends on the 25th. So if you're a new subscriber, you can get 1 month for $10. Half off.
Okay.
If you want to go for three, I think you need to be a PS Plus member. You can get 3 months for $30.
Yeah.
So again, $10. You can try it out for a few months. If you want to go all in, they have a year offer for $100.
Okay.
And that one only exists when they do these specials.
Yeah.
Unless you get like a code from like Amazon. I think Amazon sold codes for a little bit.
Yeah.
Otherwise, there's a 7-day trial. You can try it out.
Yeah. Because all of a sudden, these two services have parity. Most of them, anyway.
PS Now kind of has an advantage because you can stream the games first before you download. Try it out and play it. Like, I want to download this.
All right. This game is kind of what I want to play. So, start downloading.
The lineup Sony has in there for their own games is a little bit older because they don't have the same mandate of all their games being on there that Microsoft does. They don't really need to.
Yeah.
So like the big stuff they have on there is like Bloodborne, God of War 3, Until Dawn, some things like that. There's a lot of indie games and a lot of mid-tier games.
Yeah.
And looking through the list, the total list, even PS3 stuff, like there's a lot of PS3 stuff they could upgrade to PS4.
Yeah.
If the publishers wanted to. They've been doing that when they do monthly. They have like a list of like, here's the PS3 stuff that's upgrading to PS4. So that will get bigger. Total, it's like 650 plus games.
Yeah.
So there's like another 400 PS3 games in there. They got a lot of cool PS3 stuff that isn't available digitally on PSN.
Which is really weird.
Yeah. Like that weird Koei game that where they were trying to emulate Gears of War. I forget what it's called. That is on there. It's like Final Fantasy 13 was on there for a while. Like Fallout, Oblivion's on there. It's like that stuff's not available digitally for some reason.
Yeah.
It's available on here. Like Resistance 3 is on here.
Hmm.
They have, I think, at least two of the Resistance games. There's a bunch of stuff on there. That stuff is staying streaming because that requires a PS3 to stream.
Yeah.
And the server, and they have not at least gotten any sort of BC stuff going that direction. But that would be cool if they get that eventually, because that would kick this service into overdrive, where you suddenly have 600 fucking games.
Yeah.
To play. But the streaming stuff at least is a decent alternative.
Yeah. I mean, when they originally announced PlayStation Now, I mean, I think their intention was to have like all of the PlayStation.
Yeah. Try and get as much as they can.
Yeah.
They've done a pretty good job of that up for the PS3.
Yeah. They're not quite there yet with the rest of the stuff though. PS2, they really need to expand.
And that's PS1. Just due to publishers not being interested in putting their PS2 games on PS4 for some reason.
Yeah.
It's like extra work is required, but like Rockstar and Sony are probably the two that are most supporting it.
Yeah.
But otherwise, like Atlas, Capcom, those guys that did on PS3, they've seem like they're just like, yeah, that's okay. That's all there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not great. But so, yeah, you can download your PS4 games, and it'll support any DLC and such that you might already own for those.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or want to buy for those. I think on the streaming end, that stuff is not supported.
No, because that would be logistical.
Yeah, trying to differentiate between that stuff. But also, your PS Now games do not require a PS Plus membership to play online.
Oh.
So that's the one interesting thing that has always been the case for PS Now.
Wait, what?
Yeah, you can play multiplayer pro bono for PS Now stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that I actually knew.
I mean, the service was intended for PS3, which did not have PS Plus required for multiplayer. So PS4 stuff just gets added in there and is just like a complimentary offer.
Yeah.
You can transfer saves between PS Now and PS4, which does require PS Plus.
Yeah.
Because it's... your saves are already tracked through PS Now's cloud saving stuff. But you can transfer that to your console with the PS Plus membership. Use that by transferring your save file from PS Now cloud to your PS Plus cloud storage, then transferring it from that to your PS4. So it's a little bit weird, but it can work that way.
Yeah, it kind of works.
Yeah.
We mentioned Sony is a hardware company.
Yeah. Let's see. And there's an internet check-in for your game, so if you're just playing primarily offline, you have to get online every few days to verify it.
Yeah, I hate that. But
yeah.
What are you going to do?
Yeah. Streaming service is going to... Yeah, it's one of those weird conundrums. It's like, why do you need internet check-in for a subscription streaming service? Like, because you have to be online to stream it.
Duh.
Yeah, it's like even Netflix, it's like at least like a week, I think, at most.
Yeah.
Like you have to check back in. Mm. Like make sure you're still a member, not just trying to screw them over.
Yeah.
Otherwise, yeah, that's really cool. It's a kick in the ass for that Cirrus. Get people to pay more attention to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's just a lot of cool stuff on that service. I just unfortunately own most of it and don't have the time for all what I own.
Yeah.
I'll add to that, so. But I'll probably pick it up next time they're on sale.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right now I'm not dropping $100 on that when I got
no.
Nope.
No.
So. All right, so we got good news. Sega is delaying the Mega Drive / Genesis Mini.
Mm-hmm.
And they're delaying it because apparently At Game sucks.
Mm-hmm.
And they've hired a quote prominent Japanese software company to do the software for this thing.
Good.
If that prominent Japanese software company is M2, this thing is going to be amazing.
Oh yes.
Yeah. This happens.
Place your bets on the probability that that's actually going to be the case.
It better be. What did you say, Chris? You got kind of muffled.
Yeah. I was saying this happened on the same day that the PlayStation Classic was announced, so it's probably like a case of them being like, oh, shit, we have to step up our game.
Like, yeah.
We can't just deal with this At Game shit.
I think the backlash to At Games has just been so huge for Sega.
Mm-hmm.
It's like...
Yeah.
They have to wash their hands of them.
Yeah,
they really do. You know,
this isn't like a couple years ago where you just shit out whatever and it'll do fine.
Yeah, I mean,
like when we just had like the endless like Atari and Intellivision and various other mini consoles where it's like, these are okay, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, we will wait with bated breath until 2019 to see this.
Have they ever announced a lineup?
Nope.
Or is it just the console itself exists?
And they've only announced that the console exists. I think the fact that At Games was involved with it kind of tainted it. So maybe they just decided, let's figure out what we're gonna do with this, and then announce the lineup. And it seems like they decided that we should probably pay this the attention that it deserves. So I'm looking forward to it. I mean. Once they reveal who that developer is, we'll have a better idea of what's going to happen. So
yeah,
But yeah, if you're smart, Sega, you hire M2, because they've done like amazing work with your Xbox 360 ports. And, well, they've done plenty of, especially the 3DS stuff that they did. So lots of good stuff there. So anyway, we will see. In other emulation news, the Nintendo Switch Online emulator was hacked a day after it was released.
Yeah, that didn't take too long.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they already have access to the system, thanks to the nice folks at, what, NVIDIA?
Yeah, nice folks at NVIDIA who had a bug in their hardware that Nintendo has to fix, which I think the newer Switches are fixed now.
Yeah, but the people that didn't update can now just take advantage of that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, you do have to be able to boot custom firmware on your Switch to be able to do this. So there's that.
You probably spent an extra $300 for an old Switch. Yeah, especially because you either get the original classic mm-hmm. and just do it there.
Yeah.
Or you just do it on your damn PC or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. Well, I mean, you know, if has that thing been already?
Has that thing been brought to the PC? That emulator?
Well, it's the emulator that the NES Classic is using is called Canoe. It's something that Nintendo developed in-house.
Okay.
They haven't brought it to the PC because the PC already has better options.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I was figuring people might want the Nintendo emulator.
Yeah. Yeah, that runs on a weird Android SoC, so I guess they could probably bring it over if somebody really wanted to, but I don't think there's a whole lot of point.
I could just put their own on there.
Yeah, and that's the thing about this. If you're already homebrewing your Nintendo Switch, you probably have already installed emulators, so this is just kind of one of those things that, yeah, you can do it, but why?
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's just one of those things that, yeah, you can. It's a thing that exists, so mm-hmm. I wouldn't put too much stock in it, really.
And it's a lot of people are like, Nintendo, you suck. It's like, this was going to happen because they're using an existing emulator, and the system's already compromised.
Yeah,
completely. These are people that just aren't updating, so they're not. They can do whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If you can short two pins on your right Joy-Con connector, you can homebrew your Switch. So, yeah, that's a thing that happens.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. In other news, we got a Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney trilogy coming to all of the things.
Yeah.
Seems to be like an upgraded version of what's on 3DS.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be having the high-res art. But other than that, it seems like that's pretty much the same thing that's on 3DS.
Yeah.
So I can safely just continue playing my 3DS trilogy.
And I'm guessing they're going to have, because you know this is going to be on PS4, Xbox One, Switch, it's going to be... you know, they're going to have, like, the voice features?
Probably.
I don't know.
On the Switch, I could definitely see that.
Yeah.
Well, Switch doesn't have a mic.
Does it?
No.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
That's why you need a phone app.
Yeah.
Unless you're playing Fortnite, and then you don't.
Yeah, I assume these are essentially the mobile versions being upgraded.
Yeah.
So single screen, all that, so you have separate inventory screens to go to.
So,
but otherwise, it should work fine.
Yeah, I mean, they might have to rejigger things a little bit, but beyond that, not so much.
Yeah.
If you don't have a 3DS and you've never played them, then this is a good opportunity to get into them. So
yep.
There's that. Yeah. You know, there is Red Dead Redemption 2's
Yeah.
So Red Dead Redemption 2's online is going to be coming out as a beta
next month.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So they're doing the same thing they did with...
No, not GTA next 5. Month, November.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, November. Sorry.
Yeah.
We're not October yet.
Yeah.
Feels like it should later. Be, but we're not there just yet.
Yeah. Yeah, so they
GTA
are...
GTA Online did the same thing, right?
Yep, and it was a complete shit show at launch. Everybody's like, oh, yeah, I can't wait for the online. They jumped all on it at once.
Yeah.
Now they're saying it's a beta, so they can be like, yeah, you broke it. See? It's a beta.
Yeah.
You know, it's a month after launch.
Yeah, this is really irritating to me. And GTA Online is also really irritating to me because there's clearly two different types of people who play these games. There's the people who want to play the story and the offline stuff, and then there's the people that want to play the online stuff and get into the whole, you know, microtransactions and stuff, because that's really what you're getting with the online, is a basically a jumped up mobile game. So, like, I kind of wonder why they don't release Red Dead Redemption 2, the story and the offline, as, you know, just its own thing, and then do the online component as a free-to-play game. And they would get a huge amount of, you know...
Yeah, or they could take $60 for those people. Or they could do both the $60 twice. Games. People would probably still buy it.
Probably. Like, hey,
give us $120, or they'll just...
This is 2K.
Yeah.
I wouldn't put it past them.
Or they will do the thing where they're like, hey, there's no PC version, we're not doing that. And then a few months, we're like, hey, there's a PC version.
Yeah.
Oh,
you know, that's totally going to happen.
Double dip, triple dip, whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Give us all your money and then buy a couple $100. Would be a shark card in Red Dead.
Yeah.
Cattle card. Just call you cows.
They probably do.
We're going to farm you. That's their game. Their game, they're farming their audience.
Yeah. So, yeah, expect.
Goddamn, development is a clicker game.
It totally is. Okay, finally, we'll get to our last story before our picks of the week. So Valve is going to start moderating basically its forums.
Good.
Yeah.
Took them long enough.
They hadn't done that before, apparently.
No, devs were in charge of that stuff. So now devs can opt, or it'll be automatic, but they can opt out if they want to be the primary moderators of their own forums.
Yeah.
But now user reports of comments in any of the Game Hub discussion areas are going to be added to a queue for their moderation team to review.
Yeah.
So I imagine there are probably a bunch of forums that are abandoned.
Yeah.
Where people probably do all sorts of nasty shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are probably games most of us don't own.
Yeah. And there's a lot of Russian bot farmer games out there.
Check
that out.
So. I wonder if there are Russian bots complaining on the forums.
Probably.
But yeah, if they find the comments to be violating Steam's community guidelines, they'll be removed. Maybe repeat offenders will get banned and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they're finally doing the thing everybody else has been doing for the last 20 years.
Forum moderation. Imagine that. That's
yeah, this thing that got hacked a few years ago.
Yeah.
Oh boy. Boy, they're gonna have to staff up for this, because the amount of content that they're gonna have to go through is ridiculous.
Especially for the anime games.
Yes.
Yep.
Well, they've needed to staff up for quite some time, so
yeah.
Good.
Just tell the developers that we're working on Half-Life 3. Now you're moderating the forums.
Yeah.
So you get your shit together.
Yep. Yep. You have the choice: moderate the forums or work on Half-Life 3. I suspect a lot of people would just choose to moderate the forums, to be honest.
Yeah.
So, anyways. So, we got that, and we'll end there for today.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get on to our picks of the week, and my pick this week is a website called Brewology. And this is where you go if you want to see all of the stuff that's available for PS3 Homebrew.
Ooh.
Also, yeah. So there is a crap ton of stuff there. So you can go there, and you can download the stuff. Like, there's homebrew games, there's emulators, there's all the helper apps that you need. Basically, yeah, pretty much one of the better sites for PS3 hacking. So check that out.
All right,
All right,
and my pick of the week. We were talking earlier about what would be a curveball or something for the PS1 Classic.
Uh-huh.
Here's one for you. Bust a Groove.
Oh, boy.
Totally
forgot about that game.
Yeah. So my pick of the week is the original soundtrack that you can hear on YouTube for Bust a Groove. And remind yourself that, holy crap, that soundtrack is so good. It is so good. It is amazing. It's got all types of genres. It's got, you know, old school disco. It's got hip hop, techno, electronica, house, drum and bass. Unfortunately, they don't have it in the link, but you can find it also on YouTube. They've got the song Capoeira, which is, again, a Capoeira song.
That is a very good pick.
That's a rhythm game, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I always get that confused with Bust a Move.
Yeah, that's the point. Yeah.
Wait, is this the song that most people will associate with car commercials? Zoom Zoom?
No.
Okay.
But for those who don't remember or don't know, the quote-unquote mini-boss in Bust a Groove was these pair of aliens that you have a dance competition with on their spaceship, and their dancing style is Capoeira. So,
nice.
That's even better because the last boss in Bust a Groove is a giant robot. that is like who does like traditional Japanese fan dance, but like to hark, but it's like very heavy electronic.
I forgot how bananas this game was
and how good it is. Addictive,
yeah.
Too. It was basically a rhythm game. Based entirely around, you know, button presses. It was very Parappa the Rappa-esque in that form. Also, it had, like, an additional feature, like, you could do, like, a taunt, I guess. You could also have an attack move that you could use that could throw off your, throw your opponent off rhythm, stuff like that. But mostly, it's just the soundtrack is just very amazing.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's my pick of the week. Go and listen to it. It's great.
Okay. And Chris, we got like all of the sales this week.
Yep.
Yeah, there are a bunch of sales on PSN. So Warner Brothers sale, I guess, in lieu of a Batman sale.
Yeah.
Because that Batman Day was over the weekend. So yeah, there's a ton of their stuff on sale. It's on some good prices. I think the Arkham Knight premium edition is $14. So you can be Adam West Batman and make the game look stupid.
Is there any Injustice 2 DLC?
Not the DLC. Ah. There's no DLC on sale here. The Legendary Edition is $36. Or you can get the Ultimate Edition of the first game for $5.
Yeah.
No, the Lego stuff is
$10.
If you have a PS4.
Yeah, they got a bunch of Lego stuff that's on sale for 60% off. So if you haven't checked that out yet... Shadow of War, Middle-Earth Shadow of War Definitive Edition is $30. Mm-hmm. So now it's been defanged a bit. You can get that for a decent price. Mortal Kombat XL is $10.
Nice.
So there's some good stuff there. There's also a flash sale. This one's not one of those big flash sales. It's more a bunch of recent stuff on sale for some decent prices, like Blaze Blue Cross Tag Battle. It's $35. Dark Souls Remastered is $28. You can get that Far Cry 3 Classic Edition for $18. I haven't heard good things about it. I think it's one of those sloppy Ubisoft ports.
Yeah.
Fighting EX Layer, $42 for the Standard Edition, $28 for the Light Edition. Luminous Remaster, I think, is about $11. MLB The Show 18, you can get for $20, which is a good price now that we're heading towards the playoffs.
Yeah.
Let's see, the Sega Genesis Collection is $22.49. You can play that in VR. Yep. And the weirdest thing that's on sale is the Sonic Mania Encore DLC.
Yeah.
But not the game.
Oh.
Oh.
So if you have the game already, you can get the DLC for $374, 25% off. Hmm. But if you want the game, period, still hasn't been on sale yet.
Yeah.
It's the weirdest thing. It's like, okay, hey, we're never going to put anything on sale. Not even when there are other Sonic games on sale. Like, hey, put the good one on sale.
Yeah.
Tacoma's $8. Vampire's $40. That just got, or it's going to get an update on Tuesday, I think, which adds some harder difficulties as well as like a story mode, easy difficulty.
Yeah.
Yakuza 6 is $36.
Ooh.
Yep. The Street Fighter 30th Anniversary Collection is $30. 25% off, so there's some good stuff there.
There's some fantastic stuff in there. Yep. Even if you're just a passing fan, the museum is a must-have.
Yep. And the pub party sale is a sale that's all around the like three of their like mid-tier like British publishers.
Yeah.
I think it's like 505, Calypso, and one other one. I forget what the other name is. But yeah, your Defense Grid 2, Phil, is on sale for, what was it, $3. Mm. 80% off. That's a fantastic tower defense game.
Yep.
Brothers, A Tale of Two Sons. If you have never played that, it's $4.
Yep.
It's also a good game. Abzu is on sale for $12. That's a good one. If you like Journey, but I want to explore the sea and mess around with some fish. Not in that way.
Mm.
there's some good stuff there. Weird thing is, let's see, there's a Payday 2 Crime Wave Edition bundle with the DLC. That's like twice the price of what it was on sale like a month ago. Sometimes the prices go weird. The newest Sherlock Holmes game is $10.
Hmm.
80% off. It's pretty good. Terraria 4 is on sale for, I think, $4. Terraria PS4. That's a good one if you have not played it yet. Virginia's like $4, I think. Yeah, some good stuff here.
Yeah.
If you want some stuff that's kind of under the radar stuff, there's like World Rally Championship games, a set of courses, stuff like that. But otherwise, yeah, it's good stuff on sale this week.
Yeah.
I think Nier Automata is on sale for half off. Oh, and that DLC. Nice.
If that's the case, then if you haven't played it yet, you need to go and do it right now.
Yeah. So, yeah, if you have any money left by next week, you can get Valkyria Chronicles 4.
Mm-hmm. So remember, I'll certainly be getting it.
Hollow Knight, is that on PS4 and Xbox One?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a pre-order discount on PS4, at least, for $12.
Yeah, 10% off. Hmm. So, yeah, good stuff. So I guess we're going to call it a week. Remind everybody that if you haven't subscribed to the show, you can do so on iTunes, to Google Play, TuneIn, or your favorite podcast aggregator. You can also check us out at smashpad.com, where we have written reviews like Spider-Man, which is really good. You should read it. So check that out. So for Brandon Perkins, Patrick Mifflin, and Chris Sologi, I have been Filippo Rinolfo, and we'll see you next week.